I'm talking today with Jeff Taylor, professor of political science at Dort University, now candidate for Iowa Senate in District 2.
That's right, John. As of Sunday night, I'm an official candidate for state senate.
You missed the filing deadline for the municipal elections, obviously, but that timing wasn't into the consideration here. But you do have a vacancy here that I'm surprised no one jumped into this sooner. What led you to decide, okay, this is the right time for me?
Well, when I had heard back in January that Randy Feenstra was going to run for the U.S. House, and so he's competing in the primary against Steve King and a couple others for that seat, I had contacted him because I was thinking, now what's going to happen to his Senate seat? And he said, well, he's going to have to vacate that because he can only be on the primary ballot for one office. And so it's something that I guess had been in the back of my mind for a while, the idea of seeking public office at some point. It seemed like, well, maybe this is the time.
State Senate, an attractive place for you. I'm thinking in terms of your work in political science, I see the Senate as more of a deliberative body, perhaps, and maybe this is more suited to what you'd like to do.
It's relatively small number of individuals. So there's 50 members of the Senate, and of those, the Republicans have a majority. But you get down to, at least within your own party, a relatively small number of people. And it's the kind of thing that I think the skill set that I have in terms of strategic thinking, and working with others and trying to push principles forward in an effective way, it seems like it would be a good fit for me. And so in the end, the voters will have the final say, but that's why I'm putting myself out there.
Interesting. In your announcement, you mentioned not issues you want to pursue, but rather political values you want to uphold.
Yes, that's right. I've got what I call six key political values of decentralism, which means spreading the power out as much as possible, morality, freedom, grassroots, which means that we should, as much as possible within a Republican framework of government, try to trust the people rather than delegating it to a small group of unelected experts or bureaucrats. Common sense is another of those values, and then community. And the reason I like the value approach is that the issues can change, you know, from session to session, from year to year. Some of them, my support for the sanctity of life, protecting the unborn, I mean, that's something that's built in to my morality, among other values, over decades. But if we're just focused on what the latest hot button issue is, I don't know if that really gives you a sense of who the person is on a deeper level.
You call yourself a constitutional conservative.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to you?
Well, that means, as I teach in class, there's a couple different ways of looking at the Constitution and interpreting the Constitution. I take it very seriously. I take it very literally. And so I describe myself as a strict constructionist, which means that I look at the Constitution, both the U.S. but also the Iowa Constitution, as a rule book that we have agreed upon as a society. And that means if we're going to have rules, we should follow those rules. And we don't just interpret them loosely. We don't just say we're going to change the meaning of the Constitution by changing the interpretation over the years by judges or by politicians. There has to be something that we as a society can look to say this is how we play the game, so to speak. And I, for that reason, I guess I say I have a very high view of constitutional authority and a very literal and historical context interpretation of it. So I don't see it as a living, evolving, ever-changing document. I see it as something that's nailed down, and it doesn't mean that any constitution's perfect. So if we don't like the Constitution as it's written, then you change it. And that's the honest approach, through amendment rather than through changed interpretation.
as you approach this election, there are Republican majorities in the, both the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. Now, may change in the very election that you're involved with. So,
right.
Some of the questions that I may ask may be moot here, but the Republicans have been in the majority in all three phases of government here, save the judiciary. That's a little different.
Yeah.
But with that control, do you anticipate Republicans trying to be aggressive yet in another term, should they maintain those majorities?
You asked the question, will they be aggressive? I guess I would rather use the word consistent or faithful to the promises that they make. Aggressive sounds to me almost threatening. I like what the Republicans have done at the state level while the party has had a majority in those two elected branches. And I am hoping that the party will continue to follow through, because too often, politicians of both parties will promise something to the voters, but then once they get into power, they've got other priorities. Their campaign donors or whoever are putting pressure on them, and they seem to forget what they promised. I think the last session of the legislature has been very productive in getting things done. It's not, some of the things were controversial, some of them weren't supported by the Democrats, but from a Republican point of view, I see it as a good thing. So I hope that continues.
The biggest issues that I've seen recently have been just a number of lawsuits that have been involving members of state agencies against state government. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so sure if that's a political question so much as it is a fiscal question. And it is shown that there have been a lot more litigation over the past couple of years in this legislature, not the legislature, but around the legislature than it has been in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think a lot of those have been, it seems like, more executive branch appointees. And I don't know where the breakdown in the system or the failure is occurring. Is that, bad choices of appointees, or is that bad management at the upper levels that the appointees maybe are good, but they're pushing back against? I feel like I'm not an expert on that. I suppose each case might vary, the merits of the lawsuit for each case.
The fair question is, do you think the legislature should be involved in some kind of oversight here?
That's a possibility. I mean, we have checks and balances for a reason. And, part of decentralizing power is recognizing that we have different branches, so the power doesn't accrue to one person or one small group of people. So I think that's a valid possibility, that maybe the legislature should exercise a little bit of oversight in that area.
Okay. And the other issue is spending. Spending has really jumped a lot. Mm-hmm. The revenues have been very good. I think the state has maybe a $289 million surplus coming into the next session, which is the highest that I've heard in years. And yet you're spending a lot of money.
Sure.
Is this a good balance? Do you think that there's kind of a tenable, untenable level that you have to be aware of?
Well, the good news is that, Iowa isn't Illinois or a state like that, right? So we keep our fiscal house in order. But I also agree with you that as an advocate of small government, doesn't mean no government, but and it means, as much as possible taking place at the local and state level rather than the federal level. But even at the state level, just because you are able to tax people and bring the revenue in and keep the books balanced doesn't mean that you necessarily have to spend every dime you're getting, or that you need to ask for as much money from the people as you're asking. So I think Republicans have the same temptation as Democrats, that we always find something to spend the money on if the money's available, right? And when you have the power to tax, you always have available money. So I'm a fiscal conservative, so that's something, I guess, if I were in the Senate, I would want to look at. Is that really best use of the people's money, all of the programs that we're spending that money on?
So what's the plan now, between now and Election Day? You've got a big district.
It is.
Bigger than the second district has been. Usually you think of a state senate seat around here as maybe a county or two. This is three plus counties that you're
going
to cover.
That's right. So Sioux, Cherokee, and O'Brien counties in a strip along the border of Plymouth County as well. So it is a significant sized district, and it's going to be a gradual process. I see this is more of a marathon than a sprint, because the primary isn't until June 2nd. So we have a number of, I think, 8 months, if I'm counting right, between now and then. So I'm gradually going to be assembling my campaign team over the next month or so. We're going to keep an eye open for any, community events, chamber breakfasts, things in the area, talking to the local parties, and certainly the listeners out there. I am open to invitations, so anything that you see on the horizon, please let me know, and I'd be happy to show up. My website, if I can plug that, is www.taylor4senate.org, and the four in the middle is the number four, and so that's got my email contact on there as well.
Dr. Jeff Taylor, I'm jumping ahead of myself.
That's okay. Not quite yet.
I won't ask that question.
Thanks.
Dr. Jeff Taylor with us, professor of political science here at Dort, now a candidate for Iowa Senate District 2. Thank you for joining us today.
Good to be here.